Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My guest tonight is Eric Smith, who I always want to call Eric Smith Rocks. Eric, thank you for joining me.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I'm very excited that you're here, and this is one of the rare in-person Random Trek recordings for people keeping score at home.
Oh, all right.
Usually people don't want to be in the same room with me, so we do it over Skype. There's some restraining orders. It's too much. But Eric, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Great. Hi. I'm Eric. I'm an author and literary agent living here in Philadelphia. I've written humor and young adult books. My first book, The Geek's Guide to Dating, came out 2 years ago. And my current books are called Inked. It's a YA series with Bloomsbury.
Yes.
Kids with Magic Tattoos.
I read it, and I enjoyed it. I'm not a huge fan of YA fiction, but because I know you, Eric, I bought your book.
Thank you.
And I enjoyed it. So if you like YA fiction, you should check it out. And there'll be a link, and people can buy it. And if you buy it, it'll be an Amazon affiliate, and you'll help Random Trek. So everybody wins.
Yes.
So buy multiple copies and give them to your friends. Christmas, depending on when you listen to this, is right around the corner, or soon to be here, or very far away, but still appropriate gift.
Absolutely.
But we're not here to talk about Christmas. We're not here to talk about your books, Eric, though wonderful as they are. We're here to talk about
Star Trek.
That's right.
Yes.
So tell me, Eric, I know you obviously have many, many geeky interests, including owning a Master Chief set of armor, which we have to bring up, because Halo 5 is coming out tomorrow.
Depending,
of course, if you're listening to this, it may already be out. But Eric, I know, is very excited about Halo 5.
Yes.
So I think owning a set of armor from a video game, pretty geeky.
Yeah.
And you wrote,
I'd say I'm a fan.
You wrote a book with the geek in the title.
Yeah.
So this leads me to believe you have many geeky interests, which I know. And also you co-founded or founded, I don't know which one, Geekadelphia.
Oh, yes.
So once again, I'm noticing a trend here, Eric. What I don't know, I've known you for a long time, but I don't know anything about your interest in Star Trek.
I do love Star Trek. I grew up watching Next Generation back at home when it was on, Channel 11 with my dad. And
WPIX.
Yes. And I've been a Star Trek fan for quite some time.
So if you had to pick, because I'm going to ask you, so you do have to pick, a favorite series from Star Trek, what would you pick?
I feel like my favorite is always controversial amongst my friends, but Voyager is actually my favorite one.
I like how you said it with like a question.
Yeah,
Voyager?
It is.
Now, you are not the first person who has chosen Voyager to grace Random Trek. And the Random Trek episode picker seems to also love Voyager, because we've watched a lot of Voyager episodes far. So what about Voyager attracts you?
Oh, I just love Captain Janeway. She's so amazing. I love that they feel like more of like a scrappy, crew than all the rest of them. There's just this constant desire to root for them to
get back home.
And, I just love the fact that they're scrappy. They have this amazing captain, and all the characters are so much fun, like Neelix.
What?
And all of them. Yeah.
We have to stop right there. So Neelix, you enjoy the character of Neelix?
Well,
explain this, please.
He's interesting.
Well, I can. Now, I have long been not a fan of Voyager, but having watched more episodes of Voyager, I gave up when it was on on UPN. But then I decided, okay, Voyager, not for me. But now I've done this project, so I'm being forced, quote unquote, to watch Voyager episodes, and I've had a greater appreciation of Voyager than I did when I was a young geek. Now, I really like Captain Janeway.
Yes.
I can't say that I like Neelix, though.
Well, no, I don't know if he's likable. He's just,
he's just there.
Just sticks out when I think about
his pajamas.
Yeah.
So who's your least favorite character on Voyager?
Least favorite character? Oh, man. I'm having a hard time remembering the names. The
the guy.
Oh, what's his name?
You could pantomime it. I may be able to guess.
He's kind of Klingon-y, but not quite.
Kind of Klingon-y, but not quite. On Voyager, we're talking.
Yeah, he has like the very dry.
Is it Tuvok?
Is it Tuvok? Yes,
he's Vulcan.
Yeah. Ah, he's Vulcan. Okay. I thought I remembered him having like a.
Well, he has that weird Vulcan bowl tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Not tattoo. I'm getting confused with Chakotay in my head. Bowl haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tuvok doesn't add a whole lot to Voyager, but he's kind of innocuous. I think he's just in the background. There was a great episode where he remembers his previous tour of duty, and he shows up on the bridge of the Excelsior being captained by Captain Sulu. So that's a good episode.
Oh, man.
I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I have to rewatch it.
Google that and you'll find it, people.
Also, always love the Doctor.
Yes.
What's that one episode? It's like Not Without My Photons or something where he like ends up writing.
Oh, right, the book or whatever. He becomes super famous.
Yeah.
The Doctor is one of the best characters, I think, on Star Trek in general. Voyager in particular. But the random episode generator did not pick a Voyager episode.
Alas.
Although it has been on a Voyager roll as of late. But for you, it said, you like Voyager, so let's watch Deep Space Nine. Because it's a cruel, cruel mistress. In particular, a season one episode, The Forsaken. I don't understand why it's called The Forsaken.
Me either. I kept waiting for something to happen that would allude to that name. It just did nothing.
Yeah, and so much so that I sent you the email, and I remember the name, The Forsaken. I watched the episode, and then I thought, is this the wrong episode that I watched? I better double check. And it was the right episode. It has nothing to do. It should be called, I was talking to Marisa about this before she left, it should be called, like, Pup, or...
Yes.
Only the Lonely apparently was the working title, which I think works much better for the episode.
Because it has like dual meaning, I think.
Exactly. There's lots of loneliness on the in this episode. But no, it is The Forsaken. I don't understand why. There's nobody who's forsaken on this episode, I don't think. I guess you could argue maybe the little computer program is forsaken, the probe,
maybe.
I don't know. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Deep Space Nine. Let's talk a little bit about Deep Space Nine. Feelings about Deep Space Nine.
I always liked Deep Space Nine, but I hadn't thought about it in forever. I don't remember if I ever actually finished the series. So when I went to watch this episode, like I may have had to Google a character or two to like fully remember a lot of what was going on in it.
Which characters were least memorable?
Oh, you know what happened immediately when I saw O'Brien on the bridge? I was like, wait, why is he? He's in this? Wait, that's right. And I had to Google and look up his like character arc.
Yes. Your mind would have been blown if it was an episode with Worf in it for later seasons. Worf joins the cast.
It would have been, yes.
Worf and O'Brien, the first scene, you're like, what am I watching? It's a flashback. Deep Space Nine, as people who are listening to this podcast know and are sick of me saying, it's my favorite Star Trek series. Well,
right.
Actually, I should... Next Generation is my favorite. I think Deep Space Nine is the best Star Trek series, only because it is, in the later seasons, it gets much more complicated. There are arcs and all kinds of craziness. And I like a lot of the characters that are on it. So, you know, these are things that and it was particularly special for this episode, not special, but especially for this episode, Odo.
Yes.
This is kind of an Odo episode, I think, is easy enough to say. And I feel like they kind of, the episode leads up to Odo being trapped in an elevator. With Lox on a Troy. I don't know. I always wonder, we don't need spoilers. I'm worried about spoilers, but you cannot do this show without spoiling it. So, Odo, Lox on a Troy, locked in an elevator, basically. And that is the point of this episode, is to get them there, to have those scenes, I think. The rest of it is just a way to get that to happen.
I had a great moment when they first brought up the ambassador's name, though, and they were like, Lox on a Troy. I was like, wait, is that... Is that Deanna's mom? And I, of course, went down the
Googling.
Star Trek Wikipedia rabbit hole looking at all that stuff. And, it was awesome.
Well, we should talk about Lox on Troy, who someone on Twitter said that they love Random Trek. So thank you if you're listening.
Excellent.
They said, I don't know if I love it enough to watch a Lox on Troy episode, which I guess I can understand, although I've always liked her as a character. So she can be a bit much, but that is, I think, in fact, her character.
With Deep Space Nine, does she appear like frequently? Because
not frequently. She comes back two more times.
Oh, okay.
And shows up and does her Lox on a Troy thing, and then leaves as she does because she's a busy ambassador, daughter of the Fifth House, heir to the Rings of Beta Z or something.
Yeah, she does that "Don't you know who I am?" thing quite.
She does it very well.
Yeah.
So Majel Barrett Roddenberry, who married to Gene Roddenberry. Is the actress who plays her.
Oh.
And it's important to note just her place in Star Trek history. She was in the original pilot of the original series. She played number one. So she was the female first officer. They, of course, then retooled all of it and got rid of that character. She transitioned into Nurse and then later Nurse Chapel. So she's Dr. Chapel, Nurse Chapel in the original series. In the movies, She plays Lavoxana Troy, of course, Troy's mother. I was going to say wife, but that would be a different show. Not that there's anything wrong with that. No, welcome it, but also the voice of the computer. In the original, the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, some of the computers are her, and Voyager, I think she's the voice of the computer.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's...
I did not know that.
I think she, according to Memory Alpha, where I get all things Star Trek from, she's the only actress that has appeared in all the franchises and most of the movies. So.
That's amazing. All right.
Good for her.
Good for her.
And she plays Lavoxana Troy, who is apparently... a controversial character.
Hmm.
So what are your feelings? Did you remember her from the original, The Next Generation, I should say?
No, I didn't.
Because she shows up fairly frequently to annoy Deanna Troi, basically, and to seduce Captain Picard.
Yeah, no, you know, it'd been a while, so yeah, no, I hadn't remembered her. I didn't mind her, you know, like her character definitely grew on me as the story progressed, because like at first it was like, oh, come on, Leave Odo alone. Come on, give him a break.
Inappropriate ambassador.
Yeah. but then, you know, he has that great moment where he's like you weren't at all what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And like she takes care of him, and it was just like, oh, okay.
She's a real person.
You're a real person. And then she says something naughty at the end. But
yeah, she does.
But still.
She's a naughty real person.
Yeah. She has some really nice redeeming qualities, I thought.
Yes, and so they set up this episode. These ambassadors are on Deep Space Nine doing whatever it is ambassadors do when they visit random space stations, which apparently means that they're there to cause trouble and annoy everybody. And Captain Sisko, or who is Commander Sisko in this, he takes a couple seasons for him to become Captain Sisko, decides, well, I, you know, one of the ranks, the privileges of rank, that I don't have to carry around these ambassadors, so Julian Bashir, who nobody likes, can go deal with the ambassadors, and he is unhappy with his lot in life. And so there's a Vulcan ambassador, there's an ambassador whose alien race I forget, and there's a Bolian, who I only remember because Mott the Barber from the Next Generation is a Bolian. So I have a Star Trek podcast, so I know these things. And of course, Lavoxana Troi, who is introduced in Quark's bar because someone steals like her
it's like a brooch or something.
Brooch that has been in her family for 39 generations or something like that. Family heirloom. And so she's outraged, as she should be. She can't figure out who does it. Odo comes along and says, aren't you a telepath? Which is something you think she'd remember.
Can't you sense guilt in the room? I think was saying.
There was a nice moment where he says, well, can't you sense guilt in the room? And she's like, oh. As if she doesn't want to bother doing it. She knew she could, but she didn't want to expend the effort to do it,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a good telling kind of character moment. And so she, you know, scans the area. She can't find anybody. But she can't read Ferengi's minds. And so Odo says, well, Quark is a lot of things, but he's not a thief. And there just so happens to be a vaguely related race.
Doctarian, I think it was. I wrote down.
Oh, yeah. good notes. And it turns out he's related to Ferengi, so she can't sense his motives and Odo. I have found there are some troubling aspects evidenced by this episode. This is like stop and frisk.
Mm-hmm.
Odo just is like, empty your pockets.
Yeah.
I assume you're guilty. You have to do what I tell you to do.
He also gives up the... empties his pockets like so easily, like there's no resistance. The little guy, she's like, and just drops it all on the table,
and it's all clearly stolen.
Yeah,
he doesn't try to leave. He doesn't try to do anything. And then, oh, the big mystery solved. But the whole point of this is that now Lavoxana's like, tell me, Dr. Bashir, tell me everything there is to know of this Odo, and it's clear she is her interest in many ways is piqued.
She's now smitten.
She is smitten. So that's the main thrust of the episode, really, is this relationship between Odo and Lavoxana trying to seduce him. There's this B story, which basically is Chief O'Brien being grumpy about the computer. And he doesn't like the computer. It's a Cardassian computer. He thinks it's sassy. He goes off on everybody, telling him how much he doesn't like the computer.
I like how he says he needs to give it a root canal at that one point. Yes. And the commander's like, what, root canal? He's like, oh, it's jargon for, you know, reprogramming the computer and getting tearing through all of it and everything. I just love that this far in the future, they're still remembering root canals are.
We're still doing root canals. Dentistry has not advanced as much as other sciences in the 24th century or whatever century this is supposed to be set in. I have a hard time remembering that. Yeah, I thought that was very strange. Nobody else seems to care about the computer. Commander Sisko's like, whatever, it's a computer. Just get deal with it. And O'Brien's like, no, you don't understand. The computer on the Enterprise is so much better than this lame computer I have. It never does what I want it to do.
Mm-hmm. It's like computers have a personality. They're all different. Mm-hmm.
I can understand. I feel you bond with devices in your life.
Yeah.
Especially now with Siri and all these other things.
Cortana.
Exactly. They have a personality. And O'Brien spends a lot of time with the computer. One imagines more than Commander Sisko does. He's off doing other things. Here's another troubling thing. So this probe, a random probe or vessel, appears out of the wormhole from a distant quadrant in space. And they think, well, let's just hook it up to our computer. We don't know what it is. We scan it. It has lots of computer stuff in it. I forget what they call it. Maybe circuits or something. I don't know. An unusual amount of computing power for a probe, they say several times. And so their solution is, well, let's just hook it up to our main computer and see what happens. Which seems like the worst possible
terrible
idea. Because this is like an obvious phishing attempt, right? I tell people all the time, don't click on the random links in your email and just, or install random stuff from the internet. And that's basically what they're doing.
It's like spam floating through space.
Exactly. Let's bring it onto the station, hook it up to the computer. What could happen?
Yeah.
So what happens is apparently this probe has a program in it that's lonely and is very excited to be on the computer and having people pay attention to it. And so it does all kinds of crazy stuff and it's messing up things. But initially, O'Brien is pleased because he senses the computer is acting faster, doing things he wants it to do quickly. There's a scene that's very amusing where he calls the commander over and he's like, listen to this. So the commander's like, all right, I'll listen. And he asks the computer to do something, and the computer says something. And the commander's like, what am I listening for? And so Chief O'Brien does it again, and the commander's still like, sounds like the computer. And O'Brien's like, no, it sounds completely different. And he's like, okay, whatever you want, Chief. I feel like half of this episode is also people thinking that Chief O'Brien's insane.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I started to think it, too. Like, there's a moment where he's like, he's, like, talking to the computer affectionately. He's like, well done, computer. And I'm like, what? What is going on?
He spends a lot of time with the computer.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like Cardassians. So I guess that's all together. So that's the B story, is basically there's this pup. And so Chief O'Brien calls it a pup. He refuses to use any other word for dog.
Yep.
I found it distracting, but he says pup like 18 million times in this episode, which led me to believe, why isn't it called pup?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Why the Forsaken?
I don't know. I guess the probe is the Forsaken in this episode. I don't understand. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And so the pup program just wants attention. And apparently it has bonded. It, like a duckling.
Mm-hmm.
It has looked out, and the first person it sees
is O'Brien.
O'Brien.
Yeah.
And it has bonded with O'Brien, and now it thinks that he is its father.
Yeah. And, like, every time, O'Brien leaves the room, like, to go to lunch or whatever, like, something goes wrong, and he has to get back to the computer.
Yeah, so the replicators go offline when he's trying to get a meal.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I have to go back. although this episode, so Chief O'Brien is an interesting character in that he comes back from the Next Generation, right? He kind of bridges the gap. He's the chief engineer here on Deep Space Nine. He's an enlisted person as opposed to an officer, so that's why he's Chief O'Brien, instead of like Lieutenant Commander LaForge. And so he's always been a little more rough and tumble than Geordi has been. Because you feel like, Geordi was a great engineer, but you never get the sense that he ever got his hands dirty with anything. Like, he knew stuff, he was a great manager, he knew how to fix stuff, but other people would go off and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you really get the sense from Chief O'Brien that he, rolls up his sleeves, gets in there, starts cursing and, shouting at the computer, but he wants to get it done.
Yeah, yeah. I wish we would have seen more of him in this, because, he talks about, having to go, try to get his lunch, doesn't work, wants to go use the whatever it is, doesn't work. Like, we just sort of get him
explaining
saying that, and I would have loved to see more of him being the frustrated guy that he is.
Yes. There's this series, webcomic series about Chief O'Brien.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yes.
It's so good.
Very, very sad Chief O'Brien. Set on the Enterprise, just beaming people to other things, and it's all about lonely Chief O'Brien. And in Deep Space Nine, they continue this. They do horrible, horrible things to Chief O'Brien. There's an episode that we talked about here on Random Trek in which he is replaced by a clone, and his clone does bad things, and then he has to kill himself. It's awful.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, Chief O'Brien, many layers. Although this is first season Chief O'Brien, so he hasn't killed himself yet, but it's coming. O'Brien, be prepared.
It's so funny, because like, I don't remember the... What's the actor's name who plays O'Brien?
Cole Meany, I think.
Yeah, but like... It's been a long time since I watched Deep Space Nine or any episodes mm-hmm. that he's been in. So I just kept seeing, like, the guy from Con Air in my head. You know,
and now he's on some train show.
Oh, yeah.
Wheels of Anarchy or something. I don't know.
Oh, all right.
He's on some show where he plays somebody in, like, the Old West. I don't know. But he's always Chief O'Brien to me, so that's the problem. With he's always the guy from Con Air for you. Which, you know, either one. Yeah. No shame in either one. He gets paid every time we see one of these episodes. So. Yeah. So let's talk about the pup section, and then we'll get to, I think, the more interesting section. So basically, they figure out that this program, for some reason, has been locked up on this probe forever, and it's lonely. But they don't know if it's sentient. It's never really... decided if it's sentient or not.
Doesn't talk.
Doesn't do anything other than want O'Brien to pay attention to it. So they decide, all right, we'll create this subroutine called Pup that we'll basically trap it in. And then stuff happens. I don't know what. And
yeah. They take those like really cool looking USB drive style things out that like Think Geek should make them.
That's true. Isolinear chips perhaps or something.
Yes.
but that's their second plan, actually. Their first plan is ridiculous in that Chief O'Brien is like, well, maybe we'll just upload it back to the probe and everything will be fine. How does that even work? I don't know, but they try it. Spoiler alert. It does not work.
It does not.
And then they do this whole thing where the subroutine, and this is another scene. There are many episodes of Star Trek that make me think the writers of Star Trek have never used a computer. And this is another episode in which that leads me to believe that they have never interacted with a computer, even a 90s computer, because the plan is, okay, we need to trick it, basically, into going into this little area that we have set up for it, which is fine. Okay, I'll buy that. The way they trick it is to overload the computer by giving it so many, basically a denial of service attack, right? They have give it so many requests that it kind of freaks out. But so many requests is like four things.
Yeah.
And you think this computer that's running this entire space station maybe should be able to handle four requests at the same time without like blowing up parts of the ship. But no, apparently that is its limit.
Yeah. And I feel like their requests were something that like you or I could Google them and have them immediately. Like, it's like there's one about like music.
Yes.
It's like look up X symphony from whoever. Like. Yeah, that request will take 45 minutes. No, it won't.
What's wrong with you, computer? I can do it right now. So I found that straining my credulity there a little bit. So they trick it and they put it in this thing and it works. Hooray, Pup is isolated. And then the episode ends basically with Commander Sisko being like, great job. I don't know what you did, but are we going to keep it there?
Yeah.
And, O'Brien's like, yeah, it's not doing anything, and I'll feed it and play with it a couple times.
Yeah.
And Commander Sisko, I think the last line of the episode is, keep it off the furniture. And then,
now, like, does this program ever come back?
No, it does not. apparently, once again, according to Memory Alpha, it's in a novel, a Deep Space Nine novel. It's mentioned, but it's never mentioned again in any other Deep Space Nine episode.
It feels like it should be a major thing, like having this alien sentient program
just kind of chilling in there.
The system.
Yeah, it could have been like a little sidekick for O'Brien. He could have like downloaded it into a tricorder and he'd have like a sassy tricorder or something. I don't know what's happening with you Star Trek writers.
Missed opportunity.
Exactly. You could have marketing and lots of little toys, the sassy tricorder, its own little spin-off series. I totally watch this. It could be a sitcom. You know, Chief O'Brien and the Sassy Tricorder.
Maybe the webcomic guy will address it.
If he listens to this.
Yes.
There you go. He's probably not going to. A, listen to this, or B, think that's a good idea. So that is the B story that exists mostly to fill up space, I think. or Phillips Heim, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, well, actually, there's a C story with Julian Bashir and the adventures of the bumbling ambassadors. in that Julian is upset. What do you think of Julian based on this? And you've seen other episodes, so maybe.
I feel bad for him, you know, through the whole episode. Like, you know, he sort of gets the, you know, gets them sort of dumped on him and has to, like, drag them around the ship. And they're all talking down to him.
But they're then, not very nice to him.
No. But then, you know, as we know, things turn out quite nicely. And the one ambassador's like, call me whatever her name
Whatever her first name is. Yeah. there's a big plasma fire, and he saves them all with some quick thinking.
Yeah.
And that turns it around, and they say, we're going to file for you for
commendation.
Commendation, yes. And he's like, hooray. And there is a nice scene. I think my favorite moment in this episode with Sisko and Bashir is when Bashir's like, have you ever had to do this kind of crap? Mm. And he's like, well, of course. What's his name? I'm completely blanking on the name of Dax's character. But Curzon, there you go. Mm. Curzon made me do it all the time. And he said, well, how did you get out of it? And, of course, Sisko's response is, I punched one of the ambassadors, and then they never asked me to do it again.
It's like, don't you do that.
That's right. Don't do it. I am not as forgiving as Curzon. Although, apparently, this ambassador was being a little too forward to an ensign who was not interested, so it seemed like the appropriate response.
I agree.
But, yeah, don't punch ambassadors is the story that we learn. Julian saves the day. Everybody likes him. And now we can get back to the actual meat of this episode, which is basically Lwaxana Troi trying to seduce Odo, Odo having none of it, and then they have this lovely moment in the turbo lift where we see insight into both of them, I think.
Yeah. I feel like that's the, I don't know, maybe you do learn more about him in the earlier episodes, but I didn't know all of those little details that he talked about, like being in the lab, and, you know, when he's like, when he gets really heated and angry at her, and he's like, I don't eat. I don't have an esophagus. And he's like explaining all these crazy things. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know any of that.
What? Yeah, he's a shapeshifter. And he just has human form or humanoid form, I suppose. Because he wants to fit in with everyone. And that's his whole kind of backstory, is that he was in this lab and they basically did, well, they studied him. I won't say they did experiments on him, but they probably did. And so he had kind of a, you know, Lwaxana Troi, he tells this to her. And she's like, oh, well, that's a horrible childhood. And this is when he also rejects the idea that he even had a childhood. Mm. And he said, I did not have a childhood. There was the time when I was what I was then, and then I became what I am now. And there was no childhood that you know of. Really driving home the point. And I think this is what Star Trek does it the best. And many of our favorite characters of Star Trek had these qualities, is that Odo is very alien.
Mm.
And he is mimicking a human. And so many characters, like popular characters in Star Trek, do this. So Spock is trying to reconcile his human side and his Vulcan side. Mm-hmm. Data is Pinocchio, because he wants to be a real boy. And Spock, and not Spock, Odo, obviously. I think every series pretty much has one. Enterprise, maybe not, because Enterprise is awful. Voyager 709 has a similar thing. The Doctor, also similar kind of voyage. See what I did there. Voyager. I'm a professional podcaster. And I feel like, so this is, you might say, well, this is well-trod territory. And it's kind of, you know, maybe Star Trek can try looking for something. But it does it so well, and I feel like there are different facets. Each of these characters has the same kind of internal struggle, but they have it in different ways that make it interesting. And I think Odo is probably the most alien of all of these, because he's the, well, certainly in the first season, he's the only one of his species that anyone knows about. He's completely different than everyone else, and yet he looks like everybody else, so he has to deal with these things with Lwaxana thinking, well, we'll have a picnic, and we'll go to the holodeck, or the holosuites, actually. Mm-hmm. And he is appalled that she told Quark that they were going to go to the holosuite together, which I always find amusing. Odo is one of my favorite characters in Star Trek as well, just because he's kind of grumpy. He's no nonsense, but he's very, once you get under that kind of crusty exterior, he just wants friends, but he doesn't know how to do it.
There's that great moment where he's like, he's like, I was the life of the party back in the labs. Odo be a chair. Odo be a cat. I was like, I hate parties.
Yeah, I like that, because he walks on and is like, I'm not sure I know what you mean. Because based on our interactions, you are not the life of the party. Yeah. Is the unsaid part of that. But yeah, so basically they get the this episode wrangles them to go into this turbo lift. And then Pup decides that the turbo lift shouldn't work anymore because O'Brien needs to be back on ops. And so they're stuck there. And Odo is not so thrilled with this turn of events. I think it's easy to say. Luoxana Troy is like, this is great. We get to know each other. Yeah. We can spend some time together. Who knows what will happen in this dark turbo lift? Odo knows what's
going
to happen.
Yes, he's going to melt.
He is going to melt.
What's going to happen.
He's going to turn into his liquid form every 16 hours. They did plant that earlier when he mentioned that. I forget when he mentioned it. But
one of the people on the bridge gets concerned and says something along the lines of,
that's
what
right.
was it? Is he going to get back to his pail in time?
Yes.
And I was like, pail? Does he have like a bucket?
Have a bucket that he chills in when he is in his liquid form.
Oh, wow. All right.
See, he's alien. and so there are lots of funny scenes with Odo talking to Kira on ops, and he's like, you know, how long are we going to be stuck here? And she's like, well, I don't know. And he's like, well, what is, or I think she says a long time or a while. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how long is a while? And she's like, I can't tell you. I don't know.
God. And then Odo's like, what does he say to her when there is, every 16 hours, I turn into a liquid. And she's mm-hmm. like, I can swim.
Oh, yes.
I was like, oh my goodness.
She's ready for anything. And then so he's like, okay, we can stay in this turbo lift together, but let's just be quiet.
Yes.
And she's like, okay, because she's been trying to talk to him this entire time. But she's like, all right, I know you need to be quiet. And then she had asked earlier, do you think we're in any danger? And he says, as long as we don't panic, we'll be fine. She's like, okay. So she tries to be quiet for about 30 seconds.
And he's like, but I think I need to talk.
Yes, and Odo's like, oh. And so she just talks and talks and talks and talks. And Odo just gets grumpier and grumpier and grumpier. Which is amusing to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's that great moment where Kira, he talks to Kira, and she's like, oh, how's the project? You know, how's it going? And she says, well, it's not going well, basically. And don't try to shapeshift out of here because Cardassian turbo lifts have exposed circuits, basically, that have lots of electricity running through them, which seems like poor design. But Cardassians are not the best engineers, apparently.
Yes.
So don't try and slip out.
It's funny, you know, I didn't realize this was a an early episode until later on in the episode where when Dr. Bashir is down and he's like trapped and they're like trying to open up that door.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, there's armor plating behind this door.
Yes.
It's this design of these other aliens. I was like, oh, okay, they still don't know everything.
Yes, they're still trying to figure out everything about the station and this weird Cardassian design, which is unlike any other Star Trek set, really. So it's kind of cool. But annoys them because the computer's not a Federation computer. The turbo lifts are different.
Mm-hmm.
Chief O'Brien's like, if we were on a starship, I could just reroute some EPS conduits and have it ready in a couple of hours.
Apparently, less.
Not you're not on a starship, yep. Chief O'Brien, and you got a crazy computer that you don't like. But who really likes you? But they just want to be friends. And so, so that's set up so that you know Luoxana Troy is talking and talking and talking, and Odo gets this kind of glazed look on his face, and he's looking off to the distance, and she's like, what are you thinking about? And he responds with, I'm thinking how much voltage I might be able to take, which I thought was fun.
Yes.
And of course, the whole point of this is that they are stuck in there. Odo is slowly melting. He can't hold his form anymore. And we get to this point where he, you know, Luoxana finally says, I've been talking for so much. Tell me a little bit about you. We get his backstory about him being stuck in this lab.
Mm-hmm.
He emulates the person, the head researcher.
Oh, his hair.
His hair, yes. So he has fake hair, we find, which is important in a moment. And so we find out basically Odo has had a horrible life, and he's just trying to fit in by, you know, keeping the rules and trying to, you know, go under the radar. He has no interest in relationships. He made that clear with Sisko. Which we didn't even talk about. He basically goes to Sisko and says, can you tell this woman to leave me alone?
Sisko's like, no, you should go for it. Go for it, man.
He's like, totally go for it, man. She's into you. And he's like,
no, I have these, what is it, pylons I have to
look
after?
He has to go to the pylons. I have six pylons. And I'm not interested in reproduction, basically. And Sisko's like, well, you give it a shot. Maybe you'll like it. Spoiler alert, he does later have a relationship with Kira and Reese, so that's nice. But anyway, he's not interested in Luoxana. He doesn't know how to handle this, They're stuck in this trouble lift. They're talking. They're complete opposites. Luoxana says, well, you know that old saying about complete opposites attracting. And Odo's like, no, I don't think it's true. but then they get this. So she gets all of this backstory about his life. And the audience, I think this is the first time we hear a lot of this about Odo.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us appreciate why Odo is like Odo is. But then, you know, throughout this episode, now you were talking about how you thought she was an okay character, but kind of a little over the top, right? But this is the point at which she kind of opens up.
Yes.
Right? And she takes off her wig, and Odo's like, what the hell is that? and she's like, well, I wear all these wigs, basically because I don't want to be ordinary, right? She wants to stand out. She wants to be unique, and, you know, she's a planet. She's a Betazoid. Obviously, she has these powers. She's mm-hmm. You know, the seventh daughter of the fifth house or whatever she is. So she's has all this stuff that makes her herself. But there are lots of other people that look exactly like her. She feels like she has to try really hard to stand out. Yeah. Whereas Odo is doing the exact
really hard. Yeah, the opposite.
Exactly. Once again, opposites attract. And so Odo in this elevator has kind of exposed himself and given her his backstory that he doesn't want to talk about with anybody. And she... Well, I don't want to say exposes herself, but she takes off her wig. Yeah. She lets down her guard.
Up. Yeah.
Exactly. And shows him her actual hair. And he's like, why do you bother wearing a wig? It looks fine, I think is what he says. You can think, maybe Odo, maybe you should say something a little nicer. But that's not really Odo's deal. she's like, well, I don't want it to be fine. I want it to be extraordinary, blah, blah, blah. And it's a great scene. I think it's the whole reason for this episode existing is this moment between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moment at which Odo, she's like, Odo, I am here for you. I want to help you. And that's when Odo can no longer hold his form. And he turns into some bad 90s CGI.
and then his jelly in her dress.
Exactly.
Well, that fascinated me because I want to know what fabric her dress is made out of. Yes. That it's just like holding the gelatinous guys.
I did think that as well. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I guess it's some Betazoid silk or something that is rated to hold changelings because that's a thing, I think. but that's nice. And then I guess, I don't know, I'm sure Memory Alpha could tell me this, but I haven't looked it up. I don't know how long Odo has to stay in liquid form before he can take back his solid form.
Oh, yeah.
But the next scene is basically them coming out of the turbo lift and him saying, don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
And she says, all right, we had this moment. It was lovely. I will not tell anybody, basically. And then she caresses his cheek and says something about seeing more of him or showing more of herself to mm-hmm. him, something like that,
yeah.
The next time she's on the station.
And he has a little smile.
He does. That's the thing you see at the end. She walks away. He's his normal grimacy self. But as she's walking away, he has a little smile. And you think, oh, they're friends. And Odo is... Odo's barriers are breaking down little by little because I think Odo is a fascinated character, and obviously it is clear his backstory makes it clear that he, you know, his concept of friendship has been messed up by this researcher.
Mm-hmm.
He thought, oh, this researcher is my friend, but really it wasn't. He was just kind of like a, you know, an experiment for him. And then we get that whole, you know, life of the party thing where he's a chair and a cat and all this stuff and trying to amuse people, but really they just were... He was a freak. And so, a lot of layers to Odo.
Yeah.
It's like a seven-layer.
I also like his views on romance. When I was talking, I forgot about that earlier on. It's like, you sacrifice plants.
Yeah. And you put weird fragrances on. That has nothing to do with reproduction. And Sisko's like, oh, Odo, you crazy bastard. Well, so what did you think? That's basically the whole episode. What stood out to you about that episode?
It was mostly getting Odo's backstory and learning about him and all those details that, I don't know, I feel like maybe growing up when I did catch Deep Space Nine, it was mostly just like one-off episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever saw his backstory and his deal there. So that was definitely the big part for me.
And I think the best part of the episode is that, and Walks on a Troy is basically turning from a character into a real person in that that's her progression in this.
And then post-episode, learning that Roxana Troy is the actress, has been the voice of everything.
Yeah, she's everywhere. Yeah. You can't get rid of her. She's dead now, so rest in peace. But before, she was she was all over. And it makes me sad that she's not the voice in the rebooted J.J. Abrams movies. But what can you do? Time comes for us all.
Yes.
So what did you enjoy this episode as someone who hasn't thought about Deep Space Nine in forever?
It, I think it might have ruined me a little bit, because I feel like I'm going to go home and start it up on Hulu in the in the very near future.
Well, you are in for a treat. Seven seasons.
Oh, man. What have you done, Scott?
I have increased the joy in your life. That's what I've done. I will say, as with many Star Treks, the first season is a little rocky. Mm-hmm. But once you get into... there's a point, I think in the second season, maybe, when Sisko... so in this episode, this is a Sisko who has hair but no goatee.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, his hair migrates into a goatee. He becomes bald. And that's when everything's firing on all cylinders for Deep Space Nine. And you get the real kind of Sisko and everybody. All these wacky stuff is happening.
Oh,
so watch out for that transition.
I will.
But the first couple seasons are good, too. But Deep Space Nine really gets into it when they have this whole big sweeping arcs. And there's a Sisko becomes very much his own kind of captain and character.
All right.
So something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I have, you'll have many, many hours to watch to get through. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
Next on Random Trek, Voyager Season 6, The Muse.